piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patton. And we're the Food Guys.
I'm an apple freak, you might say.
Well, so am I.
Yeah, I know you are, Greg, because you were just telling me about something called Tarte Tatin.
A legendary apple dessert.
Oh, boy.
Invented, supposedly, I'm going to say supposedly because I've read many stories about the Tatin sisters. Two maiden ladies ran a hotel in a certain part of France and are credited with inventing this dish. It really celebrates apples by uniting the apples with a caramel and butter sauce during baking so that as the apples bake, they soak up this caramel and butter and the crust is baked on top.
Ooh.
It's an upside down apple tart. It's very simple. I don't mean it's necessarily simple to make, because anything that looks simple on paper doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy to make. There are very few ingredients in a tarte tatin. There's a basic pastry, and then for the filling, it's just apples, butter, sugar, a little lemon, and that's it. What you do is you caramelize the sugar with the butter. And so you put sugar and butter together in a heavy-duty pan, like a cast iron pan, and you cook it very slowly for about 15 minutes or so, and then the sugar will melt in the butter and becomes this beautiful, smooth, deep, deep brown caramel syrup with a layer of butter floating over it. The butter does not become incorporated into it once it's a syrup. And then what you do is you take slices of apple, and they're fairly thick slices, and you have to use the right kind of apple. You have to use an apple that is firm and sweet and tart and will hold its shape in baking, which means using a late season apple, such as a Braeburn or a Cameo. You can use Golden Delicious, you can use Granny Smith, but they've been around for so long. Use something new that has wonderful flavor that you've not had before. A Braeburn is a perfect apple for.
You mentioned the Sweet Tango, is that what it is?
Oh, Sweet Tango, yes. I found it quite by accident in one of our markets lately, and I had read about it a couple of years ago. It's a new variety, cross between a Honeycrisp and a Zestar. Mm-hmm. Now, Honeycrisp is not a good cooking apple.
No.
But it's a great eating apple.
Oh, wonderful.
But Sweet Tango is a good eating and cooking apple.
Okay.
That's a good one. Don't use Macintosh because then you'll just have applesauce and you'll be very disappointed. Use one kind of apple.
Just one
kind. As opposed to an apple pie where I like to mix varieties.
Yeah, yeah.
Use one kind just so that you have a uniform caramelization and all that. So once you have your caramel and your butter layer over it, you arrange in an attractive pattern wedges of your apple. And you pile it, actually. You make an attractive base, and then you pile the rest of the apples on top so you have a domed. It's about 2.5 pounds of apples that you use.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roll out your pastry, which is a classic butter pastry.
I see.
Bake it for about an hour. Now, the tricky part is this. When you take it out of the oven, you have to see how thick those juices are.
I see.
That the apples have been.
How do you see that?
Well, because you look at it by tipping the pan very carefully.
Uh-huh.
You can see how thin or thick the juices are.
Uh-huh.
If the juices are really thick, you'll see hardly any movement.
I see.
But if they're really thin, they'll be very liquidy, and then you need to finish the cooking on top of the stove.
I see.
And you need to do this on a medium-low heat, and it can take 10 minutes, it can take 15 minutes, it can take 20 minutes, but you have to get rid of the excess moisture, and you have to shake the pan periodically to make sure that nothing is sticking to the bottom of the pan. You don't want the apples to burn. That's why I say a medium-low heat. When the bubbles around the edge of the pastry get really viscous looking, very thick, and they break very lazily on the surface, very lazily on the surface, then it's done. Then you take it off the heat, let it sit for about a minute, and then you cover it with a serving dish. And then using pot holders, very carefully invert the two. Leave it upside down for about a minute or so, so that if there's any apples attached to your cooking pan, they will become detached. Then you carefully lift off the pan. Sometimes you'll find an apple slice or two sticking, in which case you will just carefully remove them and put them back where they belong on top of the tart. But you don't want any excess liquid.
No.
because what would happen if you had a lot of liquid, it would soak into the pastry and you don't have a crispy pastry anymore. You have a soggy mess.
Yeah, you don't have
so the trickiest part is really the thickening of the juices at the end of cooking. Now, there are some apples that do better in a tart tatin than others because they don't have quite so much liquid.
Mm-hmm.
But practically every apple that I've used, and I've made many different tarts tatin with Ashmead's kernel, which been touted to be the best apple for tart tatin. And even that I've had to cook on top of the stove to get rid of the excess liquid, maybe for 5 minutes. Yeah. But I used ginger gold recently. It's a wonderful apple. Ginger gold. And it took me 20 minutes,
20 minutes
to concentrate the juices after 1 hour of baking.
People can see this on your website.
Go to thebakingwizard.com and you'll find a recipe for tart tatin.
And you'll see all those glorious pictures of it. You'll want to eat it. You can smell it practically while looking at you. That's a wonderful idea. I'm so glad you presented it to us. And I hope that you'll come back next week for
The Food Guys.
Breakfast.